Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we will be having a number of interesting and exciting guests. We will have Yehuda Glick, who was the a rabbi from the Mizrahi community, who continually believes that we should be going up to the areas on the Har HaBayis that you're allowed to go. It's a very small, delineated areas, to show the world that we control the Har HaBayis. And clearly, this creates issues. There have been many stabbings that I believe, or at least the press believes, have been caused. We go up there, like what happened with Sharon, and people get killed. So the question is, if somebody goes up to the Har HaBayis, is he a roidif? Is he causing, through his actions, the killing of... When I was in Eretz Yisrael with my family a year ago, there was a boy killed right when we were in the Old City, and they said that they caught the killer, and they said, why did you kill this boy? He was lying there as we were passing. They said, because somebody threw a pig's head into a mosque in Haifa. So there's, you know, just a very irrational group of terrorists there that, you know, X creates Y, and you go up to the Har HaBayis and they stab somebody on Malchei Yisrael. So if somebody goes up there, is he a roidif? And we will also have Harav HaGoyin, Rabbi Yaakov Feitman, the Musmach of both Rav Moshe and Rav Hutna, the Rav in Cedarhurst. And we will be asking him the same question, as well as, given all the questions that arise today, what are the parameters of Das Torah and Amunas Chachamim in this area? And last, we will have on Rabbi Menachem Ginnack on a more political topic. And before we start with our guests, I would like to just announce that we will now have the honor of being on Wednesday night as well on WSNR at 6:20 a.m. So we are now on. You can listen to us at Matzah Shabbos on WMCA 570 a.m. from 11 to 12, or on Nachum Siegel on Monday morning from 11 to 12 at NachumSiegel.com, and now on Wednesday night on WSNR at 6:20 a.m. I'd like to just mention to the crowd that I believe that this program will end at the end of this year. My contract is with the radio station is up. I've enjoyed it very much. It's been a wonderful occasion, but you know, all good things come to an end. Some of our future Rabbanim, we will have on Harav HaGoyin Reb David Cohn. We will have Reb Nachum Eisenstein on, Reb Shalom Stein, Reb Moshe Taub, Reb Yosef Vina next week. So we have a bunch of really a group of coterie of very exciting Rabbanim discussing many interesting topics. I would like to say one contemporary thought about the time we're going through. You know, so many tests for Klal Yisrael. Every day, 27 people have been stabbed. I was in Eretz Yisrael last week. People are afraid to walk in the street. The Wall Street Journal recently had an article how retail sales in Eretz Yisrael are so down because people are afraid to go in the shuk. They're afraid to go. So it's a very trying time in our own country. And, you know, it correlates with an interesting time. You know, we speak about the Nisyonos, the 10 Nisyonos that Avraham Avinu had, the 10 tests that were given to our forefather, Avraham Avinu. And here's something interesting. Why is that so important to us, that Avraham Avinu passed his 10 Nisyonos? Like, what relevance does it have to you? I mean, I guess you know me now that your grandfather was a great person. But is that the entire relevance? So there's a fabulous thought from the Reb Chaim Volozhin and the Nefesh Chaim. He says something really beautiful. He says, the Mishnah says, Asara doires minoyach ad Avram. There were 10 generations from Noach ad Avram. And then it says, Asara nisyoneis nisnase Avram Avinu. Your grandfather Avram was tested 10 times. So he asks, on the 10 generations, when it mentions Avram, it doesn't mention he's your grandfather. But after these trials and tribulations, these crucibles, it says Avram Avinu. He says, why does it change? So listen to this amazing thought. He says, you know why we talk about the nisyoneis of Avram Avinu? And by the way, the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, they're not distant things. If you Google the 10 most trying things that could happen to a person, they pretty much correlate to the 10 things of Avraham Avinu. When you think of it, what are they? Famine, hunger. I mean, that's one of certainly, you know, loss of Parnassa, one of the most trying things. The death of a wife, a family loved one, war. What's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now? The inability to conceive children. We certainly know people who have struggled with that. the sickness he had, Mila, at that age. Remember, this was, there were no antibiotics, there was no anesthesia, etc. Great family arguments between Yishmael and a strange child, a son off the derech. We know people who have children who are OTD. We know what they struggle with. According to the Rambam, these are the nisyonos of Avram Avinu in this order. Loneliness. We see Avram all alone. The loneliest pasuk in the Torah. An old man bereft of children, sitting by the corner of the path of the road, waiting, please send me somebody to talk to. Loneliness, you know, all the singles, lack of shidduchim, the loneliness, the possible death of a child in Yitzchak. These are, according to the Rambam, the 10 nisyonos of Avram. And if you Google the 10 worst things that could happen to a person, the most, they almost correlate exactly. So the Nafshi Chaim says, he says, you know why it tells us these nisyonos? Because if you know that your family, your father, your grandfather, went through these very same trials and tribulations, and he just passed them with flying colors. And you say, you know, it's in my genes. You know, you ever see an Asian kid, and you say, we have a math test coming up, and you have this culture, and they're all, and the Asian kid is like, math, like for me, you know, computers, it's like, it's in my genes, like, this is nothing. You know, take a Jewish kid, put him in front of like a book that's 1,200 pages, and they eat it up like a pastrami sandwich. It's just 2,000 years of ingesting knowledge. Like 2,000 years ago, you know, like Disraeli said, when your forefathers were swinging from trees, we were debating, you know, the Decalogue, the judicial station that the entire Western world would stand on. So, what does that mean? That means we are really, to a great extent, our DNA is, where do we come from? You know, the Irish kid who says, my grandfather drank, my father drank, or I drank. So he says, your grandfather went through all this. For you, it's nothing. Those tests, death, war, children, sickness, you've survived it. You know, I was by in Kentucky once, and I went to a horse auction. I had a few hours. A guy said, come to the auction. You'll see we have them in Kentucky. And they brought a big brown horse up. It sold for $12,000. Another brown horse, they all looked the same to me, for $20,000. And then they had another horse that went for $120,000. It was a little... I said, what's the difference? He said, this horse? It's the grandson of Secretariat. From one side. From the other side, its other Zayd, its other grandfather was rolling thunder. I said, so what does that matter? He says, to you, they all look the same. But you know, when you're coming around the race and everybody's tired, then suddenly... What does that mean? Thank you, Lee. What does that mean? That means suddenly this horse that comes from these grandparents, secretary, in its DNA, it suddenly feels that charge, and it says something from deep in its source that it can't. It says it sees the finish line. He says all these other horses, they fall away, and this one just sprints, and it makes it there. That's what it means to have it in your DNA. Asara nisyonos nisnas Avram Avinu. War, children, hardship, famine, loneliness, all of these things. Our grandfather has showed us we have it in us to survive this. This is the reason for asara nisyonos. So when we read it, we should understand it's very relevant to you today in Eretz Yisrael, in your life, in the United States, wherever you are, it's in your DNA. We have with us on the line from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda Glick. Rabbi Yehuda Glick was recently almost killed while going up to the Har HaBayis, to the places on the Har HaBayis that are mutter to go, to be able to make the point that Jews should be allowed to go onto the Har HaBayis as well as Muslims. And he was he survived an assassination attempt, which was covered worldwide by the media. So it's an honor to have him on our program. Welcome, Rabbi Glick. So could you give us just, because we really wanted to speak more halachically, but a brief synopsis of what happened to you recently, the traumatic incident?
Okay, actually it happened to me exactly 1 year ago. And this week we celebrated a big... event of celebration, marking and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving my life. It happened on October 29th last year when I completed an event which we mark, we have every year on the 6th of Cheshvan. We mark every year an event in honor of the Rambam, the Maimonides, who went up to Har HaBayit exactly 850 years ago. At the end of the event, I walked out of the hall where we had the event, and I was approached by a person on a motorcycle who came over to me and said to me, "You are an enemy of Al-Aqsa," and point blank shot four bullets to the center of my body. I arrived at the hospital within 13 minutes after 10 days of eight different procedures of surgery. I woke up, situation, and why should suddenly somebody decide that the fact that the Jews are going up to Temple Mount should be the reasoning for the anti-Semitism? I mean, we've been going through hate by the Arab population in Israel for over 100 years, and the fact that every time they find a different excuse doesn't mean that we have to give in to terror. That everybody knows if you give in to terror, terror doesn't go away. It just continues and looks for other excuses. I'm sorry that people believe the Palestinian narrative of blaming the Jews for the anti-Semitism. There is no truth about that. There's always, whether it was in 1929 when the Arabs blamed the Jews for the terror attacks because of going to the Kotel, or whether it was they blamed the Jews for building settlements, or they blamed the Jews for building the Ramat Shlomo in Yerushalayim, or they're blaming. They're always giving excuses, and we have to once and for all say that the blame for violence and terror are the terrorists themselves, and there's no place in the world where the fact that somebody goes on to the Temple Mount, you have to remember the Temple Mount Arabite is 25 times the size of the Kotel Ma'avi Plaza. I mean, there's enough room for everybody. Nobody's interfering with anybody else's activity there. And the fact that someone that hundreds of tourists visit there, so why can over 100,000 tourists visit there annually, and a few Jews that go there, which has been happening all the time. There's nothing has changed in the past a few weeks where these terror attacks have been coming upon us. Nothing has changed. Jews have been going to Temple Mount, and the only thing that has changed is the propaganda of the Arab population. And I'm very sorry that many, many people around the world are buying that story of blaming the Jews for this terror attack.
No, so I'm trying to just analyze. You're saying it would not be a din of a raidith because we have a right to ascend there. Would that be the point?
No, I don't understand what the connection to a din of a raidith is. There's no raidith here. We've been going to Temple Mount all the time, and for a fact, between the year 2000 and 2003, Temple Mount was closed for Jews entirely, closed for visitors. Close for tourists, and the terror was in the streets of Israel all over, and those were of the worst years we had. So, I mean, I don't see any connection whatsoever between Jews going to the Temple Mount and terror attacks. It's the only connection I find is in the description of the Arab propaganda.
Okay, so you're saying that the Arabs... In Hebron and the yeshiva, clearly in 1917, they weren't going up to the Temple Mount. You're saying the hatred,
1929, yeah.
The hatred is endemic, and it's just an excuse that they're looking to hang their hat on. But theoretically, if there was a direct correlation, would it be Mutta? On a theoretical level,
I'm in contact with the Israeli security forces. If they would think, and if they would tell me that we should stop going up and stop ascending because we are causing a terror, of course they would stop going up. But there's no question about it. I mean, but the fact is that most of these security systems here in Israel are encouraging us to go up and telling us that if we don't go up, then they will not have access to what's going on in Temple Mount. You have to understand that Har-Bayit is presently a base or a home base for many, many terror organizations. And the Israeli security services wouldn't go into the Temple Mount to collect different intelligence needed if we wouldn't be there. And therefore, very high-ranked security authorities are encouraging us to go up. So, I mean, I don't understand the claim. If the security system in Israel would think that our ascending to the Temple Mount is what's causing any kind of terror, they would ask us not to go. We're in connection with, we're in contact with the Israeli security system all the time. And if they tell us, listen, if you go up right now, it'll cause terror, of course we wouldn't go.
Rabbi Glick, thank you, and I think you clarified that very well. And on behalf of all our listeners, we wish you a refuah shleima and brius hagufa, and Rabbeinu Shalom should always keep you safe.
Amen, and many, many brachas from Eretz Yisrael to all of the listeners. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. So let's go to our next guest, who's really going to, we're going to try to speak about this from a halachic point of view, the concept of Raidif, and this is, we have really a musmach of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Let's go straight to our next guest to discuss this. We have the honor of having with us Harav HaGoyin, Rabbi Yaakov Feitman. Rabbi Yaakov is the Rav of Kilos Beis Yehuda Tzvi in Cedarhurst. He's a musmach of both the Goyin, the Rashke Bahag Rav Moshe Feinstein, as well as Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, Rav Yitzchak Kutna. He's an author and a famous speaker. It's a kavod and to have you. Shalom, Rabbi Yaakov.
Shalom Aleichem. It's wonderful to talk to you.
So we had before Yehuda Glick, Rabbi Yehuda Glick, who was shot, he said it's just a year ago. It was actually an assassination attempt. He said they pointed a gun at him. They said, this is in revenge of going up to Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they shot him three times, I think four times. My question to you is, there seems to be almost a knee-jerk reaction when Sharon went up onto the Temple Mount, it started an intifada, and now somebody goes up and they stab. So if somebody goes onto the Temple Mount, and let's assume the halachic issues of whether you're allowed to go or not are aside, there's for sure places on the Har HaBayis that you're allowed to go. It's not clear what they are. It's maybe totally machlokes papayskim, etc. But let's say there is such a place. If somebody goes up, does he become a raidif because he knows I go up, somebody gets stabbed? What would be your opinion?
Well, I certainly think the word raidif is a very, very harsh word. But I think that it has to be applied today because let's go to our Gedola Yisrael. They have all paskened almost unanimously, and I won't say unanimously because I want to be honest, but all of our great Gedolim have said that we should not go up to the Har HaBayis. You know, you mentioned that let's put those issues aside if we're allowed to go, but they've told us that we're not allowed to go. So there's certainly no great mitzvah to go, and at a time when it does cause incitement, it does cause danger, then a person that goes up for no reason, if somebody's doing a mitzvah, so we can't condemn, we can't criticize them, but if somebody's going up for no reason and it's going to cause the death of Jews and it's going to bring down upon us the wrath of the Gentiles, then it's absolutely wrong, and it is a kind of a radifa. It has, like you said, a knee-jerk reaction of causing Jews death, and that's something that we should not be doing.
So to me, this is the debate is as follows. The halachic debate is as follows. If somebody would say to an individual, he says, if you, in other words, the classic din of raidif is somebody's running after somebody with a knife or a gun, so he becomes a raidif and you're allowed to kill the perpetrator, right? But now let's say somebody would say, you know, if you walk into your house, I'm going to kill this person for no reason. You have a meshugana, you have a madman, he says, step across the threshold of your house, I will shoot him. Do you have the right to step across the threshold? In other words, can somebody arbitrarily disabuse you of the right to use one of your possessions or invalidate something that is a credible act that you're allowed to do, and if you do that, they will definitely shoot somebody else or hurt somebody else, does that make you a roidef? Or do you say a roidef is just somebody who's acting in an area where he is not, where his behavior is disallowed? That would be the debate here, wouldn't it?
Right. I mean, that's certainly one way to frame the debate. I do think that in this case, one has to be very, very careful. There are people that have, I think, you know, the best of intentions, which, as everybody knows, the best of intentions sometimes result in horrible results. My understanding is that their intentions, this Mr. Glick and others, are that we should not somehow, in some tacit way or by our body language, abandon the harabayas, so to speak, to our enemies, to people that are claiming that the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, was never built there, and all of the other lies that have been thrown at us. But on the other hand, at this time in our history, when the world barely allows us the privilege, so to speak, of having Eretz Yisrael, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, to go up there, and for what? And I unfortunately do know people that have gone up there, and they've testified to me that they're not even allowed to close their eyes as if they're praying, because to them that's some kind of a cardinal sin that we prayed on their territory. So what's the point of going up there? We might be Tameh. The Rambam seems to say that, in fact, of course, the Kedushas HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, the sanctity of that place, has never been battled, has never been nullified, and therefore we shouldn't be going up. Rav Zolti, Rav Vadya Yosef, who dealt with this years and years ago, said that we shouldn't go. And now to go when it's causing damage, people are dying because of it. Certainly people that are doing that are being very, very, I think, not considerate of the rest of Klal Yisrael, just for them to fulfill their own internal need or their I think, lack of a consideration for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Would I use the word rodef? I think I would use the word that they're making a terrible error.
So I have, Rabbi Feinman, I would postulate a raya from your Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Tell me whether you would think this is a raya, okay? So the Rambam in Parakeh of Yosei Dei HaTorah poses the following question, which is, sadly, in our history, happened on many an occasion. He says, a group of enemies surround a Jewish town, and they say, Tnu lanu echas michem, give us out one of you, or we'll kill the entire town. So the halacha is you're not allowed to give out even one. Now, what's the halacha if they say, give us a particular individual? So it's a halachas in Yerushalmi.
Right.
Whether, even if it's an innocent individual, they say, you know, there's a certain blue-eyed, blonde-haired individual. His name is Josh. You give him to us, we'll save the town. Otherwise, we kill the entire town. So Rav Moshe says, Rabbi Yochanan says you're allowed to give him out. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuvas asks why you're allowed to give him out. And Rav Moshe says an astonishing thought. He says, because since he has an effect, his being there is now causing, putting the entire town's existence in peril. Even though he's innocent, he says he becomes a rodef to the town.
Right, right, right. No, absolutely. And in fact, you know, I would bring another proof, which Rav Moshe also mentions. It's the famous abortion question, where the lashon is used of a rodef on an innocent child. The child, because there is a baby there that is endangering the life of the mother, then we are not only allowed to do an abortion, we're obligated to do an abortion and save the mother's life. The child's a rodef. Well, the child clearly has no intentions, no capability of having intentions, but the child is a rodef. So I would certainly say that all the more so, such a person or people that are going up there that are making a horrible error historically, halachically, and in every way philosophically, that the person ends up being a rodef. The reason that I'm mitigating it a little bit is because people like Mr. Glick, who got terribly injured and Baruch Hashem had a refor shleima, these people are making a mistake. But I think that they're doing it, unfortunately, under terrible misconceptions. But they are rodef, yes.
If you want to, let me ask you a question.
Without, me down on that, yes.
without asking you whether then if they have a din of a right of halacha, you have a right to knock them over and prevent them from going up. Would you say that Americans who support organizations that send people up to the Harabayas are in effect then being tomech, are becoming supporting a halachically incorrect position, not because going up there is wrong, but simply because of the knee-jerk reaction, and that if you are actually paying for people, that will cause somebody else's death. Would you say halachically that it would be incorrect to send money to such an organization?
Absolutely. I think it would be incorrect because of the result. But we always have to be very, very careful that at some point down the road, if prohibitions are put upon us of things that we really are allowed to do and have to do, so then I think that wouldn't be the case, that we would be forbidden from supporting some organization that is building Torah in the West Bank or something, and in Yehuda V'Shomron. But here it is clear from all of our leaders, all of our Gedolei Yisrael, that we shouldn't be there. And then if in turn that is also causing death and destruction to Klal Yisrael, so then it's forbidden to support such things, absolutely.
I mean, in fairness, what Mr. Glick said, he said, when they killed the Jews in 1929 in the Hebron massacre, he says they don't need much of a reason to kill people. And he said, if it's not this excuse, they'll find another excuse. So he said, by cowering to them and by lack of temerity, he said, in effect, we are pandering ultimately to the destruction of Eretz Yisrael. That would be his counter argument.
Right, and I'm familiar with that argument, and I respect that argument because of where it's coming from, which means that these are people that are very concerned that we not give up any part of Eretz Yisrael, etc. But for this, we have the guidance of Rav Shach and the Stipler and all the Gedol Yisrael, the Briskerov, who have guided us over the last 70 years or so of the State of Israel, that there are things that we have to support and things that we can't support. And one of the things that we can't support is, at this time, grabbing and seizing those parts of Eretz Yisrael, that it's not the time yet. The time has not come, and we will get Mirtz Hashem the Harabayis and what they call Eretz Yisrael HaShalema, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, God willing, through Mashiach, but not through their tactics.
So, which is a good segue into the primary topic that we had asked you to discuss, and that would be, you say that, Rav Shach and the Briskerov said we should or shouldn't be going into the Harabayis, even if halachically it may be correct, or the West Bank, etc. The question to you is, we know that the Torah Shtal Zavek, right, Kol HaShayomru Lecha Laisasar, but the Rambam clearly defines that the din of Laisasar is only on the Bezdin HaGadol. And so is there today the concept of Loisasar, what is the concept of the Das Torah, which if you do a search on Aitzra Chachma, pre 100 years, the word Das Torah does not exist once in the writings. The prior 2,000 years of writings on Jewish theology on Torah, the word Das Torah does not exist. So it's basically in the panorama of Torah, it's a blink. It's a moment in time. Talk to us a little bit about it. Where does it come from? What is its halachic basis? Is it begeder? Maybe like the Chassam Sofer would say chadash asamana Torah. Give us a little bit of your opinion on it.
Well, I happen to have written about this in the Jewish Observer over 30 years ago, and that was actually, it was over 30 years ago, it was towards the end of the life of my Rebbe Muvok, Rav Hutna Zatzal, and he wanted me to write about Das Torah because he was of the opinion, as were many of the Gedolim, that this was just a semantical, you talk about a blick, a moment in time, because the terminology was not used until recently, because specifically there was no question for millennia, for not just centuries, but for millennia, that the leaders of Klal Yisrael were always the Torah leaders. So that throughout Shas, for instance, we have these stories about how the Tanoim and the Amoraim went to Rome and went to other places to defend the needs and the requirements of Klal Yisrael when they were Xeris, there were decrees against us. Why did they go? Why didn't politicians go, diplomats? Because the Gedol Yisrael not only set the tone and made the decisions, but they did it. So there was no need, and this is my own personal opinion, for a term such as Das Torah. So along came Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and he, you know, it's almost sacrilegious, in my opinion, to go criticizing a person that died, a Kiddush Hashem, that was killed by the Nazis, for using a certain term. But he was criticized for inventing a new term, and therefore for inventing, as you say, a Chadash Hashem, and I tell you something that's new to Jewish theology. But it's really not. The Rambam, for instance, wrote as long ago as, you know, what is it, 8-9 centuries now, in the Igeres Teman, that a person that doesn't listen to the rabbis of his time is like not listening to a doctor that gives you medical advice, not listening for a blind person, not listening to somebody that can see, because they, and this is the Rambam, this is not some recent Rabbi Chanan Wasserman or the Chafetz Chaim. 800 years ago, the Rishonim were writing about this, that it's let's use the classic term, that Ela Shofet Hashiyah Bayom Mohem Yiftach Bedoro Kishmul Bedoro, that we can't go to the sages of yesteryear, to the Gedolim. You know, I just want to tell you something, because we're talking about my Rebbe. My Rebbe always used to quote the Chazon Ish in a famous letter, that one of the great Yetzer Haras of our time is that everybody says, yeah, I would listen to the great sages, but, you know, they're not the Chafetz Chaim, they're not the Rambam, they're not... So he says that in every generation, when the Chafetz Chaim was alive, they said, well, he's no Vilna Goyen. And when the Vilna Goyen was alive, presumably somebody said, he's no Ramban. And what we have is the people that we have in our generation, and every one of them, Rav Dessler writes in the Michta Melio that when he sat and he listened to Rav Chaim Isaac Grzeszynski and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav of Brisk, and the Chafetz Chaim, it was as if, and he says, it was for sure that they had Ruach HaKodesh. He couldn't believe how they came up with these. They were smart people, but the results of all of their thinking and their processing was something that was divine, and that's something that we do believe in every generation.
So let me ask you a few questions on that, okay?
Sure, please.
The din of Lysasser, which the Rambam, let's say, brings in the mitzvahs in Lysasser, Shin Yud Beis, he says clearly in the Yad HaChazaka, he says, Bezdin HaGadol Shubushalayim Him Iker Torah Shabal Peh. Ve'eim Amud HaHirad. Rambam learns that Loisasser is only on the Bezdin HaGadol, notwithstanding what he writes in the Igeres Teman. And he writes it again, twice in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He writes in Asei Kufayin Reish, Mitzvah L'shmoa L'Bezdin HaGadol V'lasis Kol Mashi Yitzavu Boi Me'isser V'heter. And now what's interesting is the Rambam says the mitzvah to listen to them is only on the statutes, only on the mitzvah. So if they say who to vote for, which doctor to go to, which yeshiva to send your children in, it's not in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and not in the Yad HaChazaka, and it's only the Bezdin HaGadol. Now, additionally, of all people, a Hasidic Rebbe, but certainly, you know, the Balatanya and the one who wrote the Rav Shulchan Aruch in a letter in the Igeres HaKodesh, he writes an astonishing letter in the Igeres HaKodesh in Simen Chaf Beis. He says, we do not for any reason gashmi, anything except for spiritual matters, he says, we don't go L'gdayli Yisrael. He says, listen to his Lashon, Eifai Matzasa Minig Zeh, where do we find this minig? In any sefer of Rishayna v'achrayinim, lies minig lishol be'etza gashmias, to ask on a physical matter, kedas malaseis binyane ha'olam hagashmi. He says, af l'gdoyle chachmi Yisrael Rishayinim ketanoim v'amarayim, the greatest, asher kol roz le'onis lehu. They knew every secret, v'nehirulon and shvila d'rekhi, and the pathways of the heavens, even though they were k'neviyim mamish, right? Kol inyanei adam levad mi divrei tayru shemayim einim rasagam. He says, we only went for them for divrei of tayru and yerushamayim, for no physical matters, which means going where to invest. I know here where I live in Wesley Hills, a restaurant opened. And the owner came to me, says, can I get a loan? I said, why did you open in such a remote location? He said, my Rebbe told me to open over there. I mean, according to this Igeres HaKodesh, he says it's an absurdity. So my question to you is, A, we have the Rambam saying that's in the Yad HaChazaka three times, that the whole concept of Loisasser is only on mitzvahs, right? It's only besides Bez Din HaGadol, he says it's clearly on mitzvahs. We have an Igeres HaKodesh that says he's looked through all, and he was the Balatanya, the Rav Shulchan Aruch is the classic psak sefer of all the whole Hasidish world. The number one, it's the equivalent of the Mishneh Berurah in the Hasidish world. So we have here a very strong question. The concept of going, where to work, which doctor should I go to, the doctors, teacher, where does that come from, and is that a halachic concept?
Right, so I would make the following distinction. Let's use that Hasidish world, which the Igeres HaKodesh, the Baal Tanya, actually rejects as something that should be done by the Hasidim. But that's what the Hasidim do, and there are some today Litvisha that have appropriated or misappropriated that Hasidish approach of asking the Rebbe everything and where to buy shoes, etc. That clearly has no place in the Torah. But on the other hand, you know, just for instance, you quote the Rambam, and I just want to, you know, sort of counter with the Sefer HaChinuch, I think it's Tav Tzadik Hei. Sefer HaChinuch writes, I'm going to pull it out for a second, Noheges Mitzazu Bizman Shebeis Din HaGadol B'Yerushalayim Bizchorim V'Nekevis Sheakom Mitzuv Alasus So Kol Sheyoru, as you said, only the Bez Din HaGadol. But then he goes on, HaKlomar HaChacham HaGadol Ashiyah Beinenu Bizmanenu. And then he brings Al Hashof Neshiyah Bayom Mahem, as I mentioned before, Yiftach Bedoro Kishmo Bedoro. So that is the general understanding that the Torah world of the last, let's say, 100 years, and you mentioned before what happened before 100 years, and my contention was that it was pashut, it was built into our DNA that we asked, not the mundane, maybe even profane little questions, as you said, where somebody should open up, because that's where you ask a seicher, you ask an expert in that field, and that maybe we've gone a little bit far afield. But on the other hand, questions of how should a person conduct himself where it's not in any of the four Shulchan Aruch, but it may be in the fifth Shulchan Aruch, it may be in that which is unspoken and unsaid, that is where we seek for advice and guidance from Gedolei Yisrael. And the Chazon Ish wrote about this many, many times in his letters, that in our day, where people have become corrupted, almost depraved by societal mores and societal misguidance. That's where we need to go to Gedolei Yisrael, even if it's something that's not clearly imprinted in a sif in the Shulchan Aruch. So what you mentioned about Lo Sasur, clearly it seems from the Rambam that there is no Lo Sasur on this, although you should know that, and I want the listeners to know, that Rav Moshe Feinstein once said, he was very criticized for this, and I'll tell you by whom, at a, I believe it was a convention of the Agudas Rabbanim, that in our time, if the Gedolei Yisrael that are acknowledged get together and they make a proclamation, they have what are called kore, a decision, they have the power of the, he used the terminology, of the Bez Din HaGadol and the Sanhedrin HaGadol and the Lishkas HaGazis sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Zevin at the time criticized Rav Moshe Feinstein. Today nobody would criticize a big gadol like that. But Rav Zevin was about his age and was his equal, as they claimed. And he wrote in one of his Svarim reviews about Rav Moshe Feinstein being wrong about that. But Rav Moshe did write that.
Can I interrupt? In the Hagdama in the Rambam,
yes.
Almost towards the end, the second column, he writes like this. He says, Kol oisen hadvarim shebetalmud huskimu aleim kol Yisrael v'oisen hachamim. He says, kachwem kol chachme Yisrael aruban. He says, when most of chachme Yisrael, kol aruban, has the equivalent of a Talmudic psak. So it could be Rav Moshe held that when most of the gedolim come together, according to the Hagdam of the Rambam, it would have the halacha of halacha with the equivalent of Bez Din HaGadol. He's basically
right. I think Rav Zevin's criticism was clearly because he felt if it's the Agudas Rabbanim or the Masechet Gedolei HaTorah,
or any minority of
those official bodies, that they don't really represent necessarily the
minion
or minion of Klal Yisrael, right. and they don't have that kind of stature. But Rav Moshe, I think, was trying to shtelevek to establish that there is a body. If it's this one, it's that one, we could have some debate. But that in our time and in every time, there has to be this equivalent, because the Torah is, of course, eternal, infinite. The Ramban, in Mishpatim, the Ramban writes, at the end of a whole long discussion, he says that Kavayochla Kodesh Baruch Hu Meniecha Shmei Hashemayim Mashu Shechinasoi B'tzido, and at one point the Ramban uses the Lashon that anybody that is not a Gadol B'Yisrael is buttle, is just null and void in his opinion compared to those Gedolim, to the real Gadol B'Yisrael.
Yeah, but
so the Ramban is telling us how to go about decision making, but we're not talking about opening up a restaurant in Wesley Hills. I don't think that's what the Ramban meant or the Rambam.
Rabbi Feitman, you Rabbi Yaakov, you mentioned the chinuch, which clearly would seem to argue on the Rambam, and the Minchas chinuch over there actually brings him, and he asks on, he says, Avochach me kol dor v'dor minayin lanu. He asks on this chinuch on the spot, and he says, and he brings the Ramban, and he says the lashon of the Ramban about the mitzvah of Lo Sasser. He says, "V'shani bezden hagadol asher kvoid Hashem yisparach choifif aleihem kol hayom." He says the Shechina hovers over the bezden hagadol v'aleihem hefticha haTorah. So he clearly designates the Minchas Chinuch that the Ramban and the Rambam disagree with the chinuch. So it would seem that this debate about how the reach of sort of what we would call today Das Torah would go back to a very early disagreement between the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Sefer HaChinuch.
Right. I mean, but you know, we always, I think one of the perspectives that we have to keep is the famous Lashon, the Gemara Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Beis, by the Marishonim, B'nei Malachim, Anoshim, if we show B'nei Anoshim, Anu Kachamardim, V'loi Kachamar Kareb, Shal Reb Chanin Ibn Daisa, V'shal Reb Ben Chazban Yar. The statements that this Gemara and so many others make is very clearly that the early generations had something that we don't have, and therefore we should have respect for what's taught by those early generations. But then the question becomes, who are the teachers, who are the people that have the right to make that interpretation? And there it's become very, very clear that it's this is what the Chazon Ish taught us for sure, that it's the Gedolim of that generation. And who are they, by the way? It doesn't even say that they're smart people. It says they're Amelei HaTorah. The Lashon that is used constantly is that it's the people that are immersed in Torah. And they are granted a special, I don't want to use the term necessarily Ruach HaKodesh, although it's very clear that some of the greatest of our Gedolim have said that in every generation there are those that have Ruach HaKodesh and they're granted that. You know, the Stipler, for instance, writes in his Musa Sefer, of all things, that every one of the Tanoim and Amoraim were able to be Mechayim Mason, like the Gemara says over there, Kom Rabba V'shochtel Reb Zera, and then he was Mechayim Mason. He says nobody was misspoiled in that Gemara that he's Mechayim Mason, because that's what the Tanoim and Amoraim were able to do. So maybe nobody today could be Mechayim Mason. But clearly, there's a story, Reb Cheska Avramsky once said, there was a question in Eretz Yisrael, what to do, said, let's pack up our gear, let's go to B'nai Brak, to the Chazon Ish, because we have to get the word from on high, from Shemayim. That's the way Jews act. So, and by the way, you mentioned the Rambam, the Machlokes, the Rambam, the Ramban, about Lo Sasser. That's Rebbe Chanan in the Kuntres Divrei Seferim, in that Chelek Bay section of the Kaibet Shiurim, where he discusses, and he says there over there very clearly that there is B'chol Dor V'Dor a kind of Lo Sasser. You know, the Lo Sasser of going to Gedol Yisrael, and that's where, I believe, and why he invented the term of Das Torah for our generation, because that's a term that we can understand without going into all of the, you know, maybe fancier terms of earlier generations. But it wasn't something that was simply created so that a couple of rabbis would be listened to. That I think, is a terrible pointed at Rebbe Chanan. It's really a criticism that is unfair and is not true.
So, but seemingly, it would seem to be that this would lie in the machlokes between the Rambam, Ramban, and Chinuch as to the exact power of it. Would you agree with that?
Right. No, I think the exact power, I certainly agree that how far that exact power goes, for instance, to legislate totally new Gzeris, new Takanas, so that would be the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Do the Gedolim of later generations have that ability? It's interesting, Rebbe Chanan, just because he brings it down to our generation, but then he goes back to Bilam. What was Bilam's problem? Why was Bilam such a terrible person? Because he writes that Bilam knew very well that If he goes to curse Klal Yisrael, that's against the Ratzon Hashem. But since it wasn't specific, and he wasn't told that, so his feeling was, well, it's not so specific, I don't have to listen. So Rabbi Chanan points out that we have to listen to the Gedolim even when it's not so specific, and they're not quoting a pasuk or even a sif in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's where Rabbi Chanan came through this interest of Risofrim and that particular machlokas about Lo Sasser to the conclusion that we have to strengthen the idea and the power of Gedolim in future generations.
Now, when the word Emunas Chachamim is very frequently used, but if we, as a reason to listen, but if we look, let's say, in the Mefarshim, you look in the Medrash Shmuel, he'll say, what is, you know, on Mishnayos, he'll say, what is Emunas Chachamim? Sheyamin b'chol ma sheyomru Chazal. In other words, it's the belief in Torah Shebaal Peh in Chazal. So is that also sort of a little bit of stretched and maybe abused, the concept of Emunas Chachamim, to listen to the current? I mean, I know I'm asking this to a rabbi, so you may have some skin in the game here, but do you think that's maybe a little bit of stretch?
I not only don't have skin in the game, I would never presume either to claim the mantle and the imprimatur of Das Torah, nor that anybody should trust me because of Emunas Chachamim. But it's, there are some people, if it's Rabbi Leib Shteyman, if it's Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that have emerged, and sometimes it's surprising who they are. Sometimes it could be a person that was a third grade Rebbe for half of his life, and then suddenly emerged as the person that is the, yes, Emunas Chachamim person of that generation. Because it seems reasonably clear that Emunas Chachamim means that you have somebody that you go to and you listen to in that generation. And, you know, when it says in Pirkei Avos that Emunas Chachamim is one of the 48 methods of acquiring the Torah, it's very hard to apply that to somebody that hasn't been on this earth for centuries. It means listening to somebody that you can talk to and that says something to you, and then you believe him. And in fact, some of them, you mentioned the Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos point out that Emunas Chachamim is the word Emunah, belief, faith, just as we have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though we don't always understand, we don't have to understand, we just do what he says. The word Emunah, it wasn't meant over here, accept. There could have been many words, Kabbalah, many, many words that the Pirkei Avos could have used. It uses the word Emunah, which is, you know, Chas V'Shalom to say, equated with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's very, very close that you have to trust and believe, even though you don't understand.
So the what parameters would you put on it? Like you said, it's which doctor to go to? Would it be to when to go to war? Like, your understanding of the Sefer HaChinuch, right? What parentheses would you put on it?
Well, so there, as you said, for instance, what doctor to go to? I'll just tell you an interesting story. I mentioned my Rebbe Rav Utna Zatzal. Somebody once asked him about a certain doctor who was very frum. So he said, "Ich bin ich bei dich ist dein seine tzitzis." He said, "I don't care what kind of tzitzis he's wearing. I want to know, can he save the patient?" So that's an area where, in fact, there are halachas, clearly. There's an entire medical, not ethics, but halacha, which tells us what to do, but not which doctor to go to. That's a matter of finding out who the best one is. So if somebody would go to the Skver Rebbe and then do what the Skver Rebbe says, because the Skver Rebbe has a tremendous fount of information about who is the best doctor, but not because he's the Skver Rebbe particularly. But then, if there's a question, there are two doctors, and one says to do this, one says to do that, and the Skver Rebbe or somebody else like him says, do something, that might be an Emunas Chachamim effect, because the doctors themselves are unsure, and then you need somebody that can guide you with the power, let's call it, of being a Chacham HaTorah. And by the way, you know, the famous Mesil Sisharim Mashal, in I think the third parak of the Gana Mavuka, he talks about the labyrinth, the maze. So the Mesil Sisharim says that it's the person that's been above the maze or gone through the maze and knows the ropes that you have to listen to. And sometimes that's what it means to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. He's gone through the process, has learned, and has assimilated and is able to apply the power of knowledge and of experience. And for that, we don't go to professors. We, Torah Jews, go to the Torah leaders of our time. That's the lesson of the Gada Mavuka as it's brought in many, many Svarim that explain the Misal Sishar.
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Feitman, for laying out to the Olama the way you were Makabalit from your Rosh Yeshiva Zichron Levracha, Rav Hutna, and from Rav Moshe. It's always a great covet to have you, and it's enlightening. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
So we had Rabbi Glick, or Mr. Glick, who said who leads the movement to go up to the Har HaBayis, and he says, you know, we need it for political reasons to show, and doesn't do damage to hate us anyway. Then we had Rabbi Feitman, the Pesach Rav Feitman, who said that, no, it's you're a Raidif, and I personally agree. I think that those who go on, they are in some status Raidfim. So it's really a question. So we're going to have a surprise guest who's going to give us an opinion, a Psak Lalacha. Are you or aren't you allowed to go up to the Har HaBayis? But before we have him on, I would just like to tell everybody again, you can now get us on a new radio station. We're on WMCA Matzah Shabbos from 11 to 12. If you're not a night bird, you can hear us 11 to 12 a.m. on Nachum Siegel on Monday morning. And now on Wednesday night, between 9 and 10 in the evening, you can get us on WSNR, which is 6:20 a.m. That's a new station, 6:20 a.m., 11 to 12. So let's hear what we have from a very prominent Rav and a Pesach about this topic. We have on the phone with us Rav HaGaon Reb Menachem Genack. He's the head of the OU, and he's also a musmach of Rav HaGaon Reb Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, as well as the mechaber of many of the svarim that we have Torah from Reb Yosher Ber. And the reason we have asked Rabbi Genack to join us is because those who go on to the Har HaBayis are basically the very right-wing Zionists, etc. Rabbi Yosher Ber was the head of the Mizrahi movement, so we would like to hear from one of his preeminent Talmidim what his opinion was about of going on to the Har HaBayis. Welcome, Rabbi Genack.
After the Six-Day War, when the Har HaBayis became under Jewish control, and Rav Gorin, who was a very big advocate and chief rabbi of Tzahal, the Israeli army, had entering into the area of the Har HaBayis, and the Rav was extremely opposed to that. He was opposed because, well, they said, we'd never know the exact boundaries of what's considered the Azorah, in which any Tomei, and everybody's Tomei, Tomei Mace nowadays, is allowed to enter. And he said, even if we were to presume that we knew what those boundaries were exactly, which Rabbi Gorin obviously assumed he knew, in terms of public policy, inevitably there will be people who go beyond those boundaries intentionally, inadvertently, and it's an isekaris. So he was very, very animated about it, very, very opposed to it. It's interesting. It wasn't just his opinion. Recently, they published, a flyer that was put out by many Rosh Yeshivas and Gedolim. It was on the top. It was signed by the two chief rabbis of Israel then, Rav Unterman and Rav Nissim, and also Rav Cheskel Abramsky. And then, in alphabetical order, scores of Rosh Yeshivas and Rabbanim, amongst Rav Yoshev, who were opposed to it, presumably for the very same reasons. So, obviously, this is a contentious issue right now. But Rav Soloveitchik was very much opposed to it. It's
so
interesting that this. Please.
To your knowledge, has any world-renowned Pesach, like accepted Pesach or Das Torah, etc., come out and said that there is an area on the Har HaBayis that you can go? I know Rabbi Tendler from YU says that you can go up to the Har HaBayis, and he has in a delineation. There have been many articles, the Kaft of Aferach says here, and if you take all the Shitas, it comes out that there are certain areas you can. But has any renowned Pesach ever been Materit?
Not to my knowledge. I know that that was Rabbi Tendler's position, but I believe that Moshe Feinstein, his father-in-law, was opposed to it.
So as the Rav HaMachshir of the OU, is there any area on the Har HaBayis that you would give a Hechshir on and say you can go here?
Well, again, I'm going to go just cite Rabbi Soloveitchik. You know, it's clear that there are obviously places that are on the Har HaBayis that are the Har HaBayis and are not, they're not the Azara. But he was very much opposed to walking any of that area because it would ultimately lead to people walking where they're not allowed to. And even part of the Har HaBayis required that they go to the mikvah. So there are a lot of constraints because Tumah Yotzeh Mil Gufo is forbidden even in the Har HaBayis, Machane Leviyah. so he was very much opposed to it. You know, as I just mentioned in terms of Rabbi Goren, there was another thing that Rabbi Goren said at the time, which he took exception to, which we published actually in the keynotes that was put out by the OU, the Rav's keynotes. Rabbi Goren said that, you know, now that the Yerushalayim is in our hands and the Har Habayis is in our hands, the text of the Nachem prayer that we say in Tisha B'Av should be amended. Because how can we say Ha'ir Habzuya, Hashomema, Belo Baneha, and so on? You know, it's desolate, you know, its children are not there, when Yerushalayim now is in our hands. And the Rav said that the text can't be changed at all. And he said halachically that as long as the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Yerushalayim, because the Yerushalayim is, according to the Rambam, the outer perimeter of the Beis HaMikdash, it has a din of Mikdash. So as long as the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Yerushalayim is considered still Chorav. We wait, you know, with anticipation for its rebuilding, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Gennach. We would like to invite you at a time when it is, you know, convenient for you, when you think it is appropriate, to discuss what you feel under the upcoming administration, given the, you know, the, both the Republican and Democratic nominees, how they, in your opinion, as somebody who is both a wise, a leader of Klal Yisrael, who do you think would be the best leaders for Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael at such a later date when you feel that it is auspicious and appropriate?
Gladly.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Gennach. Kol Tov HaGoter.
Be well.
Well, thank you all for joining us. Next week, the topic will be a terrorist who's been shot and he's on the floor. He's incapacitated. Are you allowed to kill him? Or do you have to wait for the ambulance to come, take him to the hospital, spend $100,000 on surgery, put him in jail, and then watch him get released the next time there's a terrorist raid? What does the halacha say about it? And we will have on Rabbi Viner, Rabbi Yosef Viner, the Rav of Kal Shari Shemayim in Muncie, to discuss that. We'll also be having Rabbi Nachum Eisenstein, the Talmud Muvik of Hagoyin Rabbi Yashiv and the Rav of Maladafna, speaking about Hafgos Kiddushin. So we have some very exciting guests. I want you all again to remember that there is a new development here. Until the end of the year, we will be on WSNR, 6:20 a.m. from 9 to 10 on Wednesday night. So we're now on three times. We're on Matzah Shabbos, 11 to 12 on WMCA, Monday morning, 11 to 12 in, on Nachum Siegel, and now on WSNR, that's 6:20 a.m. on Wednesday night from 9 to 10 for those of you who are not night owls and find this very late hour a little bit disturbing. So I look forward to speaking to you next week. All the best. Headlines Radio.